Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Quick reminder of something we want you to do today over the next hour. The winner of this year's Pulitzer Prize for Poetry, Brooklyn's own Tracy K. Smith, will be our guest in about an hour, and she has given us a poetry challenge for you. Are you ready? Write a poem in the voice of someone in the news lately. It should be very short. In fact, you could tweet it to us at Brian Lehrer if it's under 140 characters, or post it on our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Write a poem in the voice of someone in the news lately. We will air some of these poems at around 11:40 as Tracy K. Smith, the new Pulitzer Prize winner for poetry, comes on and reads some of her own work. But she's given us this poetry challenge for you. Will you take it? Write a poem, a short poem, in the voice of someone in the news lately. Post it to our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Everybody will be able to read your poems, and we'll choose some to read on the air in about an hour from right now. But right now, we'll open up the phones on the question. If you're young, healthy, and uninsured, will you vote for President Obama's reelection? Or more precisely, does the individual mandate to buy health insurance, which is a mandate on you, influence your voting decision one way or the other? 212-433-WNYC. And let's start with Lars in Brooklyn. Hi, Lars. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for having me. Yes, I do support the mandate. I can get into details of why I don't like some parts of it or how it was passed, but I do believe that
And are you yourself uninsured and
yes,
the mandate would have
uninsured. I lost my health insurance last year.
Okay.
And I've been through at least half of my adult life without insurance. I've come in and out of it. And I just think that we all pay for it, and it's sort of like if you decided that you didn't want police protection because you could protect yourself, you don't opt to not pay the taxes that pays for it. We all use it. So it's an infrastructure thing. It's not a business thing, and that's why I support it.
Even though it's going to mean some personal expense for yourself.
Well, regardless, I have to find insurance, and I think the mandate will help make it more affordable for me because I can't afford individual insurance right now. It's too expensive.
Thank you. And that's, I think, a question yet to be answered. Will these health insurance exchanges offer care that's affordable enough for people like Lars, or is it just going to enrage a whole other group of people who think it's a good idea going in and then will get sticker shock? We don't know yet the answer to that. Hadley in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Hadley.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Are you uninsured?
I am.
And you would be forced to buy under this. You have a problem with that?
I would be glad to buy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't afford individual insurance right now. I'm still in school, and I work a full-time job. And my main driver for voting for Obama the first time around was for health insurance. It's not as far-reaching as I hoped it would have been, but I understand that, you know, our political system doesn't work perfectly, and you have to take small steps to get farther.
Mm-hmm. Have you crunched the numbers as to, considering however much money you make, what the subsidy would be? Because it's sliding scale subsidies to make sure that nobody pays more than, I think it's 8% of their income on a policy. Have you crunched it in your own case?
I did look at it originally when the law first came out. I have racked up some medical bills due to not having insurance and having emergencies. And the amount that I pay monthly to cover the bills that I've already accrued is less. I mean, it's more than what I would pay monthly to have health insurance.
So you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Chris in Roxbury, you're on WNYC. Hi, Chris.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So,
I support Obama fully, and the mandate, I have to say, honestly, I think it's a great idea.
All right. You're ready to see how much it would impose on you to pay and do it.
The whole thing is, if you look at it, medical bills, if they pile up, they cost a lot more than insurance would.
That's a very forward-looking. I gather you're 20 years old. I'm told you're 20 years old.
I am, and I'm a college student, and most of the people around here feel the same way.
That's a good forward-looking attitude. I'm not endorsing one way or the other politically, but I'm saying to say this is going to cost less in the long run. Do you get insurance from your campus now?
I do not.
Yeah, they don't provide that. Okay, Chris, thank you very much, and good luck in school. Mary Beth in Clinton Hill, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mary Beth.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So you're uninsured.
I'm uninsured, and I actually probably could afford to buy a policy right now, but it's so expensive that I'm just hoping I don't get hit by a bus.
Ah, that's what a lot of Americans do, right? They hope they don't get hit by a bus. Did you price it out? Are you single and basically healthy and look for a policy under those terms?
Yeah, I have, and most of them are just, they're so expensive per month that it's like I never have to go to the doctor, knock on wood, maybe once a year. So I just, it's not worth it to pay out all that money for me right now because I'm healthy. So,
do you remember the numbers, like for people who don't know, like what a policy would cost you?
It was, some of the ones I was looking at for like freelancers and stuff, which is what I am, was about $400 to like $600 and up. Per month.
So that's
a lot.
Yeah.
And
so
I
over
one my friend sent that's like $180, and that was a cheap one, and that covers like, you know, barely anything.
Right. So the ones you were looking at, over $5,000 a year, even in this very low risk category that you're in, 30 and single and healthy.
Right.
Mary Beth.
So I hope that if they had the mandate went through, then like, you know, Lars and somebody else said that hopefully it would be cheaper. It would become cheaper for people like me if we had to do it, that it would be cheaper.
Thank you for your call. Good luck. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We're going to take a few more phone calls from people. And so far, people do not feel imposed upon, at least those of you choosing to call in, by the individual mandate. You are ready. You are certainly ready for the sliding scale subsidy that's going to be offered, because this seems to be the take so far. People are saying, well, I costed out policies and they were so expensive, so I'm hoping that when these exchanges get set up and the subsidy gets kicked in, that I'm going to be able to afford to buy health insurance. Tatiana in Somerset, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. I do support the mandate, but I have some concerns of, right now for me it's unaffordable, and I think the explorer was saying it's from $400 to $600 from what I've looked at. $700, $800 and up for one person. And my concern is that insurance is still going to be unaffordable even with mandate. That's what I'm really afraid of. Because in the past couple of years, insurance companies have been cutting and the people paying more. Even with insurance, people are still underinsured. And I'm just afraid that the mandate is not going to help and it's still going to be very unaffordable for everybody.
And the
most people.
The cost of policies, my understanding is, for the people who would be covered by these exchanges, which are individuals and some small businesses, those policies have been going up. And my guess about that is that since it's not prohibited by law for them to increase the cost of these policies, they're getting ready to get the maximum subsidy that they can possibly get from the government. Because if it is a percentage of your income, like you're going to be subsidized so you don't have to pay more than 8%, I think it is, of your income for a policy, then it's going to be more to them if the initial price is higher. So I think you're right that a lot of people like yourself are waiting to see what that subsidy is actually going to be in real dollars once the thing is implemented, assuming it is implemented.
Yeah, I think we have some subsidized insurance even now, but there's a certain income level that, you know, most people who are working, I'm a working person, I make, you know, enough money to live by, but I don't know what kind of percentage is going to be covered by subsidies. That's what I'm concerned about.
Right. And there's Medicaid is what you're talking about, and some working people qualify for Medicaid. And actually, that's another piece of the Obama law. The income bar for Medicaid qualification would be raised higher. So some people who are working would be put on Medicaid. Some people would go into this private exchange insurance market with a subsidy depending on your income. And obviously, for yourself and your concerns and everybody else, you'll have to see how that shakes out if, in fact, it's implemented. Tracy in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tracy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for making it. So you're uninsured?
Yes. And, you know, the insurance companies, I use more alternative medicine, so herbs, massage. And so the insurance doesn't cover anything that I use for medicine anyway. I don't believe in the traditional Western, you know, industrial medical complex. So whatever I do healthcare-wise, insurance companies don't help me with anyway. And even we know that basically this was about insurance company bailout, that end-of-life care is the most expensive. And the insurance companies, which Obamacare is a mixed term anyway, because Obama, as we know, didn't write this. Basically, the insurance companies wrote this medical, the new, you know, health care plan, is to allow them to have young people pay in and don't get sick so they don't have to pay out. So it's all just a form of insurance company bailout.
Well, certainly the insurance companies don't feel like they wrote this, although they do get an unbelievable, I mean, they lobbied against it, but they get an unbelievable benefit in this bill, in this law, which is the mandate itself. Everybody in America is going to be forced to buy their product. That, of course, was the liberal argument against the bill. Even though it was really conservatives who dug in against it, the liberal argument is instead of instituting something like Medicare for All, or at least including a public option, every American is now forced to buy something from the health insurance companies unless they're covered by some other government program. And people like you kind of get left out because it's not health care that's being subsidized, it's health insurance. So exactly. The kinds of things that you choose to use, the alternative treatments and preventive items and whatever, those, they're not covered directly. So unless you buy health insurance, you can't go out and buy health care with quote-unquote Obamacare. You can only buy health insurance.
And I'll be forced to pay for something I'll never use. And I do think there's some evidence that the insurance companies had their hand in writing a lot of this bill. I've even heard interviews on WNYC where they're talking about how end-of-life care is most expensive, and their numbers just don't match unless this young group of people under 40 are forced to pay insurance because they pay in, but they don't get sick and they don't pay out. And we saw all the insurance companies in a line at the White House who came to consult. They were consulted on this bill, and on the surface they may have lobbied against it, but it certainly has a lot of benefits for them. So we know what we see on the surface is not always the deeper truth.
Thank you for your call. Craig in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Craig.
Yeah, hi there. I think my sentiments pretty much mirror your previous caller. I'm quite annoyed that I haven't seen a doctor in 7-8 years, and obviously I don't plan on seeing a doctor in 7-8 years, and now I'm going to be forced to pay for this. But my question should the conversation not be geared around as to why healthcare is so unaffordable in this country? You know, not the fact that we should or shouldn't have to buy it. I mean, why is it more expensive than pretty much anywhere in the world? I mean, is that not the conversation we should be having?
It's certainly a big part of the conversation, and it's one of the knocks on the Obama health law. It's called the Affordable Care Act, but we had twin problems going into the debate on the act, which were the rising cost of health care compared to most things in this country, and the large number of uninsured people. And again, one of the knocks on it is that this dealt with the uninsurance problem, but it didn't really deal with the cost spike. Go ahead.
Sorry, another side note. Do you know what the cost would come down to? I mean, I don't know really what it is at the moment because I haven't ever had needed health insurance. But I mean, what would the average price come down to? What would I have to now pay for?
Well, I can't say for you as an individual, but you know, you've been hearing what some of the other callers say. They've been asked as young, healthy people to pay $5,000 or even more per year. And then there's the question of how much the subsidy is going to be. So, again, I should have this stat more solidly for this segment. But by memory, I think it's 8% of your income would be the max that you would be asked to pay up to $100,000 of income, I think the number is, you know, and you would be subsidized for the remainder. And the theory, one of the theories for how costs would come down is that if everybody is forced to buy health insurance, then there's much more demand, and so it's going to be cheaper to insure everybody, you know, by the basic laws of supply and demand, and we'll see how much that happens.
Yeah, I just have a feeling these insurance companies are laughing all the way to the bank with this bill. I mean, you got a government saying that everyone needs to buy your product. Wow, I kind of want to get into the insurance game now, you know. But anyway, thank you, Brian. Thanks for a lovely show.
Thank you very much, and I think we're going to leave it there. Thanks to all of you for calling in. Interesting takes from many of you young, healthy folks on the health insurance mandate, which is targeted at you. Thank you very much for your calls. Obviously, we'll continue to cover this story in great detail. The other breaking news story that we're covering this morning, the Supreme Court just announced that they will not hear the case of Harmon versus Kimmel, which questions the constitutionality of New York City's rent regulations. So rent-regulated tenants, you can breathe a sigh of relief. landlords of rent-regulated apartments, it's back to the drawing board for how to get government to take this off your backs. But the Supreme Court decided not to take up New York's rent regulations, so that just in a little while ago. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, what is synthetic marijuana, and why is New York State outlawing it? Stay with us.